What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 209 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. Obviously, saving it up for the TWAB this week. The TWAB had a bunch of sandbox balance changes, a couple of buffs to some weapons, and even more discussion of perks that they're going to be bringing up to be a little bit more powerful, a little bit more fun to use. So we're going to be going over all of that for you. We are going to be talking about the numbers, basically breaking down our predictions for the upcoming sandbox in the season of whatever season is this season 14 that we're going into. We still don't know the name of it. It's still redacted. So season of the redacted.
Season of the whatever. Yeah. So I don't even know what to say about the new season, but boy, we've got some things to talk about this week for sure.
Oh, we absolutely do. And we are coming to you late on Thursday night. It's already after midnight Eastern time because I was actually on the DCP podcast earlier tonight talking about some of the same stuff. So fair disclosure, I got a little bit more in-depth than I usually do on DCP. I felt like it was warranted. I think I might have scared off some of their listeners. But if you did listen to that, it's going to be a lot of the same stuff in this one. And we will do a couple of listener questions at the end. But as always, let's get the introduction out of the way. I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. How are you doing this evening, Kit? Or I guess this morning now, I guess for my time.
It's still, I guess, you know, evening, night here. I'm doing pretty darn well. I've had a nice mini vacation to the mountains just recently, and I came back to just an absolute fat pile of work waiting for me. Apparently, they kept piling things up while I was gone, so that was exciting. But I'm grinding it out, and I am looking forward to getting it off my plate so I can get back to grinding some Destiny. How about you, man?
I'm doing well as well. Really enjoying the new job. It's been a ton of fun. We have pretty much not finished up the house, but we hung some of the last pictures. We got rid of some old furniture that we'd been trying to sell on Facebook Marketplace for like a month. We finally got rid of a lot of that. So we've got a lot more space for storage in the house, which is finally nice. You know, it seems like I hesitate to say things are coming together because I'm one of the people that's like every time you think things are going well, then something happens that like, you know, you almost jinx it, right? So I hate to say that stuff. So knock on wood, I'm going to do that right now. But yeah, things have been going well. I played a little bit of Destiny this last week, not a ton. I'm in the end of season blues where I'm kind of finding it hard to motivate myself to spend a bunch of time playing with the population as low as it has been. And I was hoping that this TWAB was going to be like the spark that revitalized it. But there really actually wasn't a ton of PvP-specific changes, which is a little bit of a bummer. But before we get into all that, I want to go ahead and knock out all that housekeeping stuff.
Sir.
I believe we have a couple of patrons and some sponsors tonight.
We do indeed. So big thank you to ongoing sponsors. Right now we have ZenSoCal and The Shazzle to thank. ZenSoCal going on to, I believe, his third year of sponsoring the podcast. Absolutely titanic support right there. And then I know we've got a new sponsor we're looking forward to thanking next week. So very, very excited about that. In addition, we have a couple of new patrons to add to the crew this week. So big shout outs to, and I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce this. I don't know if it's Muti or Muddy, M-U-T-T-I. You know who you are, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much for your pledge and support. Thank you also to Elucidire. I'm going to take a hazard that I'm pretty much in the ballpark on that one. Tough names this week, but usually I don't have to say them out loud. So thank you so much, Elucidire, for your pledge of support as well. We really appreciate it. I hope to see you both in the Discord and out in the wild. And yeah, so if you're listening, you see those Guardians online, you see them in the Discord, please let them know you appreciate them supporting this podcast, as it helps to keep us, as ever, sponsor, non-Guardian sponsor, I should say, free advertisement, free
corporate sponsor,
etc. Exactly, yeah, exactly. No funky powders for your pits here. It's all good old Guardian fun. So that's the patrons' corner for this week. We've got some questions we're going to talk about later. I don't know if we had any patron questions or not this week.
Yeah, medic. Medic is a
We
patron.
did, yes, medic. Okay, awesome. So we've got some questions. We'll get to our patron questions first, but then we'll also answer as many questions as we can from the rest of you listening. So if you want to participate in those Q&As, we post when we're going to do them in the podcast discussion channel of our Discord. There isn't a link to join our Discord on our Twitter account, so you can absolutely hit us up with a follow and hit us up with a Discord join and say hello there. So we've got a few ways to connect with us, but that is where we are posting the questions exclusively. And that Twitter account is at DestinyMVP. So be sure to check it out. We haven't plugged it for a while. I felt like tonight was the time to remind you that we are on the Bird app. There we go. Let's talk about some reviews.
We have one review that we're going to read out this week. It is from Coxination7. He says, "Like a fine whiskey, 5 stars. Absolutely love listening to you guys go over every breakdown and twab about Destiny. As soon as I see that you guys have posted a new episode, I can't wait to listen to it. With your great background of game knowledge and number crunching, I have actually changed my loadout multiple times because of the advice you guys have given about certain perks and roles, and have seen an improvement in my gunplay based on your recommendations. Keep up the hard work and thank you. If you would be so kind, I also have a listener question. If each of you could make a new exotic weapon for the game, what would it be and what would its exotic perk be? Thank you again and have a fantastic day." I was actually just thinking about this earlier, and I have come to the conclusion that all I really want is a kinetic fusion rifle. Not Bastion. Bastion is one thing, and Bastion's probably going to get nerfed. I just want a kinetic fusion rifle. That's really all I need at this point in time. I'm a man of simple taste. I don't have a ton of creativity. I would be very happy if I literally just got like an Erentil in the kinetic slot.
Wow. So this has just been dropped on me with no warning.
I'm sorry, you got to make one up just on the fly here.
I might have to come back to that at the end of the episode.
That's fine. Why don't we redo that? Because that was also a terrible answer, and I know for a fact that that was a terrible answer. So why don't we redo that? I'm going to put it in my little notes here. I've got a podcast cues notes document. So I'm going to type in Coxination, what exotic? And we'll answer it at the end of the episode when Kutch has had time to think, and I can do more justice to the question than just saying a kinetic fusion. But by God, that's just all I want at this point in time. Please, I just need it. Go on. All right. Anyways, so that's it for the reviews. Remember, if you guys want to leave us a review, leave it on Apple Podcasts, leave it on Reddit, Twitter, wherever you listen to us. If you hit us up with it on Twitter, I'll, retweet it and everything. If you leave it for Apple Podcasts or leave it for us on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out on the podcast. I mean, we'll read it. Any review you leave us, we'll read on the podcast.
That's
But
true.
if you provide it to us on Twitter, I can also retweet it, right? Which is pretty neat because everybody loves to see a good podcast review on Twitter. So, those things aside, I believe that is it for the housekeeping, and we can hop right into the sandbox changes.
I think that's it. Let's do it. So this week at Bungie.
So they brought Chris Proctor, who is the weapons feature lead, on, and he kind of discussed a bunch of stuff, actually. It was a surprising amount of text. Some of it that didn't really, some of it that was entirely not necessary, but it was very, very nice to have. I really appreciate that he went through and he kind of defined the weapon roles and stuff. So the title of this feature was Linear VOOP Rifles. And basically, what he says is, he says, first, before we do anything else, let's talk about weapon roles. Said there are three main weapon roles. There's ad clear, which is obviously clearing, low level enemies. There's single target damage, which is sustained damage done to a boss over a longer period of time. And then there's burst damage, which is what you would think when you're taking down a champion or a yellow bar, or for bosses with very short damage phases, right? So
And just to
what's
clarify, this is specifically for heavy weapons. These are the roles. So
Well,
there
it's
may have
it,
some other roles, conceivably. I'm just saying,
well,
conceivably, for primaries and specials.
it's actually not, these are the three roles for
That's
all
it?
guns, but
Okay.
he was defining them in terms of heavy weapons, right? So the way you look at it, and this is actually something I could talk about this because now they said it out loud, but this is something I don't know. So it's like ad clear is red bars. It's what primary weapons are designed for, right? Primary weapons are best for ad clear. Burst damage is what special weapons are best for. Like that is what special weapons are used for, is burst damage, right? And then single target damage is what heavy weapons are supposed to be best for. But what they do to provide variety is they make primary weapons that are better for burst damage, or special weapons that are better for sustained single target damage, or heavy weapons that are better for burst damage, right? Like, so that's how they kind of mix things up. So what they do is they take every heavy weapon and they're basically like, this is its primary use, and like, this is its secondary use. And like, you know, I mean, they talk about how some of them aren't doing a very good job of it, which is kind of true. Like machine guns are more of a weapon that you would think of as like, oh, I'm going to use this machine gun to like take out ads, right? But most people don't end up actually using machine guns at all, because you'd much rather just use a primary weapon to take out ads, and then you had, you know, you have better options for sustained damage on a boss, right? So it kind of fails in both of its roles. And they do point that out, and they say that they'll probably end up looking at machine guns at a later point in time because of that thing. But the focus of this was to explain what they want linear fusion rifles to be. And they want linear fusion rifles to be great for sustained single target damage, which would be boss DPS. And they want it to be good for secondary burst damage, which is like yellow bars and champions and stuff like that. And they basically go on to say, you know, they've thought about changing linear fusion rifles to be special weapons, but they found that that had a lot of test wake behind it. It's a huge, huge change. It's very difficult to balance them, because then you've got sniper rifles in the same class, and sniper rifles are instant kills, whereas linear fusion rifles have a charge time. But at the same time, linear fusion rifles have tremendous amounts of aim assist and flinch reduction compared to snipers. So it's like, how do you balance those two things? Personally, to me, that just sounds like it's balanced right there. Like, they have a charge time, but they have better aim assist and better flinch reduction. So to me, it's like, that kind of sounds balanced, right? Like, most high level players are probably still going to use snipers because the instant kill potential, but you provide basically like a sniper with training wheels for lower level players that they can master the charge rate. So, you know, to me, from my perspective, I still think that that's the best option. But they said that that was a huge change, and they're willing to consider it if things continue to not work out in the heavy weapon slot. But in the meantime, what they want to do is they're going to basically just buff the damage for linear fusion rifles. So the precision damage is going up by 15%, and then the reserve ammo is increasing by 20%, which is quite a substantial increase in terms of reserve ammo. So for bosses that have a big crit spot, or for bosses you're using Divinity on, or for bosses with a very long sustained DPS phase, I think that maybe we'll see a little bit more usage here.
It's definitely possible. You know, I may consider pulling a fusion rifle out at this point. We'll really have to see how the damage numbers end up working out.
I mean, is this going to make, I'm assuming that, that sleeper simulant was included in this buff. And if so, maybe we will see a resurgence in sleeper being used, because it was already doing massive damage, but the charge rate, especially without the catalyst, is just quite slow. And the reserves weren't great, which I feel like is why it wasn't showing up. But maybe with more reserves, with 15% more precision damage, if you have the catalyst, which speeds up the charge rate, maybe we'll start to see a little bit of a resurgence in sleeper. But you know, my point has kind of always been like, if they're going to sit in the heavy slot, then they need to probably body shot Guardians in PvP. And if they can't body shot Guardians in PvP, they're like, you're not willing to move them into that damage profile, which is where sleeper sits, then they probably need to be special weapons. And so we'll have to see how it plays out. I'm sure Sky Warrior will make a DPS chart that shows it, but I'm struggling to think that this is going to be enough to make linear fusions anywhere close to the other options that we see.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm especially sad that I don't now have a non-sunset firing line. I feel like that would be, like, I think on top of that, to justify using them, you're still going to need more damage. in order to justify using a linear fusion rifle over a sniper rifle. I just think it needs, I think it probably needs more. That said, I'm totally open to somebody going out and proving me wrong. I will farm more linear fusions if that's what it takes. Happily do it. But I'm not
going
to...
Threaded Needle, right? This season, we got from Battlegrounds, we got Threaded Needle.
Yep.
It can get Vorpal. It can get Field Prep, which bumps the inventory size up even higher, right?
True.
I mean, it doesn't have firing line, which sucks. What was the one? It was Line in the Sand was the one from the Sundial that
yeah.
had firing line and was like the super ultra DPS version if it hadn't ended up getting Sunset.
Yeah, I definitely was sitting on a rapid hit firing line in the sand, but never had cause to use it before it got Sunset, so.
Yeah.
Kind of a
it's
bummer.
Kind of an unfortunate turn events because you could have thrown a boss spec on that too
mm-hmm.
and really just gone ham with it. I actually think I had that role as well. And it's just a cool looking linear fusion too. So yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's nice. But again, it's nice to see a buff instead of a nerf for once. So
absolutely.
Not entirely sure it's going to do it a ton.
They've needed some love. So this is a step in the right direction in terms of at least paying attention to them as an archetype. Whether or not this is the right choice for this weapon archetype over the long term, I think there's some open debate there. And obviously, I think we both agree that we probably want to see them move to the special slot. But hey, it is what it is. We'll see how it plays next season. And what else do we have here?
Well, I do want to go back to the explanation of the rules really quickly, just because I kind of want to say like this, these explanation of these rules, they make sense, but it kind of presents a flaw in like the current ammo system of the way Bungie deals with ammo in PvE activities specifically, right? It's like you look at ad clear and it says like, we would like you to be able to use a machine gun or a rocket launcher for ad clear, but then you think about how scarce heavy ammo is because it's relatively random drops, right? And you think, yeah, but what you're telling me with the ammo system is that I need to conserve heavy ammo for the times when it's most appropriate. And the time when it's most appropriate is almost always doing DPS on a primeval or a strike boss or a raid boss, right? So it's very hard for me to justify using heavy ammo to kill ads in any type of endgame content, when everything else in the game is telling me, save your heavy ammo, save your heavy ammo, save your heavy ammo.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for special weapons, right? So it's funny that they have these defined roles, and if ammo were something that we picked up, if ammo were something we could count on, you know, like they made it better with the raid banners and stuff like that, right? If ammo were something that you could count on, then I think people would be more okay with using these weapons for their secondary roles. But as it stands right now, because of we don't have ammo sense, and the best thing we've got is like ammo finders and scavengers. So because of the way the ammo economy works, it's rare that you see heavy weapons being used for ad clear, right? Like that just doesn't really happen a ton. And so I thought that it was kind of interesting that they're like, this is what we would like you to be using. And I was like thinking in my head, I was like, yeah, but when was the last time I used an LMG to clear ads in any type of content? Now I already hear the people being like, but in GM Nightfalls, I already am assuming that someone's going to tell me that in GM Nightfalls, you do use heavy weapons to clear ads. In which case, please, by all means, tell me. But for the other 99.9% of the game that isn't the 6 Grandmaster Nightfalls that we get in an entire season, like, is there a place for that? Do you find yourself using heavy weapons to clear ads in outside of just, like, where it doesn't matter?
So, I mean, you know, I'll do it in strikes sometimes. If I'm running typically with a sword, because swords are just, I guess, I feel like swords are much more ammo efficient than machine guns, because I always run tireless blade. So I will, if I'm running a sniper for boss damage, or if you know the strike is such that I can run a shotgun for boss damage, And that I'm primarily conserving special for that final encounter. And I'm using the sword to clear majors and or swarms of adds as needed. Whenever the primary isn't doing it fast enough, basically. So I would say yes, but it's not something that like I have to do. That said, I do think, higher level nightfalls are one area where you would choose to do that. I don't know that machine guns are quite strong enough as is. But machine guns are a real, they're a really difficult weapon to balance properly in both PvE and PvP. I think they have to walk an extremely fine line between being way too strong and not strong enough to be worth using ever. And it's really difficult to find that. And to be honest, I was kind of opposed to Bungie bringing them back simply because they never figured that out in Destiny 1. They never quite got them balanced properly. They were always too strong or too weak. And I can't really hold it against them because it's like, it's an extremely fine line, and it very much depends on the rest of the meta and the rest of the sandbox where that line is. So the line is a constantly moving target. So I think machine guns are just a problem weapon, and I'd rather have them be too weak than too strong.
See, they even say here, machine guns as an example. They say here's some examples for machine guns, breaking matching shields and grandmasters where other weapons can't do the trick. Okay, that makes sense. Using a machine gun instead of a primary weapon in a heavy ammo-rich situation where your primary and special weapons are not rapid fire, for example, something like a sniper and a bow, right? Sure, that makes sense, but it's like the heavy ammo. So here's what they've done, like heavy ammo boxes in PvE content before, right? What I would like to see, obviously for raids, we have raid banners and stuff, My fear in strikes and in Nightfall specifically, and also in Gambit, I think this is a good example, right? Where you have a long sustained period of ad waves, maybe with a few yellow bars thrown in. And then you have like one final boss to do damage to, which is different than raids, where raids are multiple encounters. Each encounter kind of has a boss with a little DPS phase sometimes, so it's a little bit different. And each raid you have you have the banner, so you start off with full. So my concern in Gambit, and my concern in Strikes, especially Nightfalls, is that you need to output so much damage on those bosses to get them down that if you don't have full heavy going into it, you're at an immediate disadvantage. Right, like you are at a disadvantage. So what I do is towards the tail end of that, I start hoarding heavy because I don't want to go into the boss phase of either the Primeval or the Nightfall with anything less than full heavy. Right. Now what Gambit does to kind of counter that is it allows you to pick up those ammo boxes, which just give you a handful of shots, right? It gives you like what seems like 20% of your inventory, maybe, which isn't bad, and that helps. And that does make it a little bit easier, but it's one box between four people, and the chances of you getting it right before the boss phase is pretty thin, right? So what I find myself doing is I find myself hoarding heavy ammo for the boss phase, and therefore not ever considering using my heavy for ad clear. If the ammo economy was different in such a way, and I'm not saying that I need to be granted for free full heavy ammo before every single boss phase. But if the heavy ammo economy was just ever so slightly less stingy in a very targeted manner, then I feel like it would free me up to be like, oh, cool, I can equip a heavy weapon to do ad clear in these activities.
Yeah, I think it's a tough thing. As is, the decision on whether to use or hoard that heavy is one that can be occasionally strategic or tactical in nature. If an invader shows up in Gambit, do you hit them with a rocket? Take them out with truth just immediately. Sometimes that's the best thing to do, even though it means you have maybe not full ammo going into the boss fight, because it means that you're not down. Or especially if you've already got the Primeval up, you know, you don't want to take that risk that they're going to set you back. So I think, I guess for me, I feel like the heavy ammo economy is fine. I'd be curious to see some experimental changes in some of the playlists to it. Maybe the Nightfall playlist feels like the natural place to do those experiments. You know, every now and then in Strikes, right, we do get a heavy ammo modifier. So,
which is fantastic. Which, one of the best modifiers in the game.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Oh boy, do I love that one.
I'll tell you, I still, to this day, want to see a Crucible playlist that just has random rotating modifiers like Strikes. Just every week, it's just something randomly ridiculous. It'd be, you know, like Mayhem, but for other things, you know. I'd love to see it replace Mayhem. And then sometimes one of the buffs is your super recharges 10 times as fast. You know, whatever. I feel like that could be a lot of fun, to have a Solar Burn playlist for a week, or a, you know, a heavy ammo heavy playlist. Maybe people drop heavy every time they die.
Just your heavy is your primary, and that's pretty much all you get.
Yeah, it's just all rockets all the time. It'd be fun.
Eyes of Tomorrow and Wardcliffe, just unending streams of those two tracking rockets.
It'd be fun for a week, and then it'd be over, and it'd be something new. So I think there's potential there, but nobody listens to me. So anyway, let's move on to things that are actually going to be in the game.
Nobody listens to any of us. So anyways, they do want to talk about their balance philosophy. They just said that there's two options they have. There are big swings, and they said they use this when they want to make a change that will immediately encourage new player behavior, basically. So the example is the 120 hand cannon buff or rocket launcher buff, something where it's like so incredibly noticeable that everyone who uses them notices them. And then there's also incremental changes, which are much smaller. They say it's where they don't want to leave a high test quake behind it, or they don't want to, they're worried that they're going to make something overpowered and they don't want to overcorrect it. So they said something like the precision auto rifle change that they're going to talk about is one of those changes. So moving on to that, for some reason they chuck in right before they said one note on damage fall off. Just be careful, because all damage fall off distances they talk about are the hip fire damage fall off. So it is modified slightly by the weapon zoom when you go ADS. So the numbers they give, if they say like 5 meters, they're decreasing a hand cannon's range by 5 meters. That's hip fire. When you multiply that out by the zoom, it will end up being a larger penalty, is basically what it is, right? So they mentioned that because they buff fusion rifles. We'll talk about that in a second. So the one change they made to precision auto rifles is a very small change, seemingly, but it has a lot of knock-on effects. They took 450 RPM auto rifles. We have Shadow Price, Breakneck was historically one of those, Werewolf, Horror Story from Festival of the Lost. They took the damage per bullet for body shots from 17 to 18. So what that does, and I already put the numbers into the calculator and everything so you guys can see them. What that does is it takes the crit damage, because there's a 1.6 times crit multiplier. Something you guys should know about Destiny is that they do not define crit damage. They define base damage, and then they define a crit multiplier, and that's how they get crit damage. So crit damage is not a number that they set, right? They get it through a combination of two other numbers. So the base damage of 18, the crit multiplier of 1.6, that brings the crit damage up to 28.8, which is a pretty substantial buff over the 27.2 that it used to be. So what it does is the time to kill used to be 0.93 seconds, 6 crits, 2 body shots. That was pretty slow. It is now 0.80 seconds, which is much more on the fast side. That is the same as DMT hip firing with 7 crits. And the body shot has also come down from 1.47 to 1.33. So that is actually a pretty substantial change. With how good precision auto rifles feel, because of their intrinsic counterbalance, and their pretty decent range, I would actually not be surprised if Gnawing Hunger fell down underneath things like Shadow Price and 450 auto rifles became the new best of class 4 ARs. I don't think they're going to be competitive at a high level, but I think they will supplant the 600 RPM auto rifles as the most popular choice.
Yeah, I think they definitely have a strong case to make. They are very easy to use. That precision archetype means that their recoil is just eminently controllable. And in addition to that, I believe they can now hit their old optimal time to kill, 0.93, with just 5 crits and 3 bodies, which is still an improvement over what it used to be, much easier, even if you're not quite as precise with your shots. And so that is going to come in handy, I think, for a lot of players. All in all, faster optimal and then still easier to hit. I think 0.93 is still a pretty reasonable time to kill in actual play, given imperfect accuracy. So these are going to be, like you said, not a competitive choice, but I think they're going to be a weapon that we're going to see a lot of in sixes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they're going to be a very, very new player friendly weapon.
Absolutely.
And I think they have a lot of upside compared to really the only downside for the precision auto rifles is that you do need 7 crits to get the optimal, which is hard. And their aim assist is quite bad by default, right? They don't really have great aim assist stats. So, it'll be a little hit or miss, but like I said, I know that I'm going to try them out, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them perform quite well. And we've got some really wonderful 450s in the game that up until this point have just received absolutely no love. So it'll be nice to see Shadow Price work in PvP for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that I think of these guns in terms of how they feel is that they're not dissimilar from the high impacts. If the high impacts basically had double the stability that they do. So you can definitely hit people at pretty significant ranges for an auto rifle. And they don't feel difficult to control. I think they're fairly easy to keep on target. So in many ways it's a good thing that the aim assist is effectively garbage, because otherwise they would be egregious.
They'd just be flat out the best fusion rifles and They'd just be flat out the best auto rifles in existence. I'm already skipping ahead mentally to the next thing because it's what I really want to talk about. So let's move on from the auto rifles.
Yep.
The fusion rifles are getting a buff. I found this particular breed of buff to be quite funny, but they said the recent buff to fusion rifles had the side effect of making the best subfamily for PvP, which is the high impacts, even better. So we decided to bring the low range stat fusion rifles up a fair bit. So they have increased the damage falloff start distance for fusion rifles. They are not pushing out the damage falloff floor, right? So basically where the damage falloff starts is getting increased by 2 meters. So I think, and these are rough numbers, right? But for the purposes of the example, I think they'll work. I think the hip fire damage falloff start was like, 10 meters before, and at zero range and at 100 range it was like 14 meters. I use Monks's range calculator for all these things, by the way, so if you guys want to do this for yourself, go use Monks's range calculator. If you just Google it, you'll be able to find it, or I think it's also pinned in our Discord as well.
Destiny Science channel. Yep, absolutely.
So I believe that the damage falloff started somewhere around 10 meters and it ended somewhere around like 13 and a half or 14 meters if you had 100 range. So now that 100 range damage falloff start is still going to be at 13 and a half or 14 meters. But the zero range damage falloff start is just going to be at 12 meters now instead of 10, right? So basically, effectively what it's doing is every point of range you invest in stat-wise for the gun is now doing less, but the starting point is now much higher. So for every fusion rifle that is not a 100 range fusion rifle, you will get slightly more range out of your fusion. So I did the math on this. The Cartesian coordinate, which is a rapid fire, is going to get about a meter and a half of additional range hip fire, which translates out to a little over 2 meters of additional range when you're ADS. Glacioclasm, which hilariously already has the best range, still gets about 3/4 of a meter additional range. So the problem is that I would much rather take 3/4 of a meter on Glacioclasm than 2 on Cartesian, because Cartesian coordinate, the problem isn't the range, it's not the damage falloff, it's the fact that you have to hit 6 bolts to kill, and the spread is atrocious. So at 15+ meters, you're just not connecting with 6 bolts anyways. So what's gonna happen is you're gonna connect with 5 bolts, and the bolts are gonna do more damage, but it's not gonna matter because you weren't doing enough damage to get the kill anyways, right? So that's kind of the issue that I have with this.
So this was an interesting, I know we're not doing listener questions, but it's just very on point. We can talk about it at the end. But just something to think about was a suggestion that came out of Discord from Quick Fix, asking, has anyone ever suggested just setting all fusions to have functionally the same range? Since the faster firing ones are already getting a trade-off in terms of charge rate and needing bolts to kill. I thought that was very interesting. I'd love to talk about it toward the end, but just something to mull over for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely be something. I think we talked last week about my preferred way I would change fusions, right? Which is I would buff the damage up a lot on all of them so that they're just like straight up more consistent. Like, I would still have rapid fires needing 6 bolts to kill, but I would dramatically increase the charge rate so they just charge way faster. What I want them to be is I want them to be much stronger. I don't want rapid fire fusions to be reaching out 15 plus meters. Like, I want rapid fire fusions to be an awesome counter shotgun tool within shotgun range. And in order for them to do that, they need to have a super fast charge rate. And similarly, things like Aerontol and Glacioclasm that can really reach out and touch you 25 plus meters. Like, I want those to be able to kill that far away. Shit, I'd want them to be able to kill a lot further away, but I want that charge rate to be way slower than it already is, right? Make it way more punishing. Like, make it a 1 second charge rate and let them kill at 30 meters. Like, that's how I would start to spread the fusions out a little bit. What I'm most disappointed about with this buff is that the actual fusion rifle family that has the highest base range on average is actually the precision fusion rifles, which are the fusion rifles that I want so badly to be good. They're the ones that sit right under the high impact archetype. They're the ones that I want so badly to be good, but they have really high base range, and so they're not even getting as much of a buff on these as like the high impacts are, which is funny. So, what change is this going to do for me? Nothing. I'm just going to keep using Glacioclasm, and I'm going to take the extra, almost a meter of damage fall off that I get.
Yeah.
So.
I thought it was kind of funny as well because I went and looked at the range charts and I was just like, so the best one is still gonna be better and it's still getting a little bit better. Just like what did you miss the first from what your own goal was that you thought this was the answer? Not to be harsh, but like this is just exactly what you said you didn't want to do again. So I don't know.
And Glacioclasm also, because it requires so few bolts to kill, like you have a lot more leeway at those longer ranges where you don't have to hit the tighter spreads, because you don't need 6 out of 7 bolts to connect.
Right.
You need 4 out of 7. And so even if you miss two, like you're still getting overkill even with damage fall off. So it's one thing or another, but long story short, I put 3,000 kills on a Glacioclasm this season. Like, I'll be fine. I don't even have the really good roll. I really wanted an under pressure high impact reserves one, which hilariously are two perks they buffed, which we're gonna talk about here in a second. But like, if I had that, oh my God, I'd be over the moon right now. I'm already pretty happy. Regardless, we can go ahead and move on to perks. It's kind of weird that they only touched three weapons positively. Linear fusion rifles, which isn't going to do shit for them in PvP, precision auto rifles, and fusion rifles, which really fusion rifles I don't think is going to do a lot for the subclasses, for the archetypes that they wanted it to. So I mean, it's nice to see buffs coming in, but do you find it a little bit weird that they only touched really like three weapon types positively?
I do. And like I expected them, I think they had mentioned it, so I kind of expected them to do something with linear fusions. This isn't really what I was looking for. And I do feel like there's a lot that could be given some attention that there's just absolutely no mention of at all.
Like, all the rest of the pulse rifles that aren't high impacts, like, all the rest of the scout rifles, just all of the scout rifles.
Submachine guns.
Yeah.
Sidearms. I mean,
any other
whole archetypes mentioned.
Yeah, it's, I mean, really, there's only, like, three good weapons right now for primaries, and, like, everything else is really just failing to stack up. So, I mean, it's just, it's weird to me that they singled out 450 autos as being the thing that needed the love, but, you know, whatever. Like I said, it's a buff. A buff's a buff. So, I'll take it. But what they did do, to their credit, it seems like they spent a lot of time on perks and less time on weapons. So they basically took a whole huge list of perks, some of which aren't even really that old, haven't been languishing around too much, some of which were already pretty decent, and they just went through and kicked it up a notch on a whole bunch of different stuff. So, you know, we'll kind of rapid fire this stuff, give some opinions, talk about numbers when they need to do it. But I mean, there's just a bunch of them. So subsistence, they said specifically for submachine guns, this one kind of sucked because it was only giving 10%. But now it gives 17%, which is the same as auto rifles, right? I'm sure you guys noticed that when you use subsistence on DMT, you got like 2 shots back. And when you used a submachine gun, you got 3 shots back, which was like, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good change.
SMGs already, the magazine was a huge weakness for us. So that's a very solid change.
And
it also no longer
reduce reserves.
Yeah. Stealing my thunder.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to read out. You can read out. Go ahead.
It was a pretty weak penalty anyway, because reserves for primary ammo, I mean, very few situations where you're running out of that. But subsistence is considerably stronger now that it does not reduce your reserve ammo.
Well, and they said they wanted to put it on special and heavies, and they felt that reducing reserve ammo on those weapons would have made it an awful perk. So,
that's fair. Likely would have.
So, my favorite buff is up next, and I wish we talked about this when Glacioclasm was out, what I was grinding for, and I didn't get it. I never got the role I wanted on Glacioclasm, which is unfortunate because I have to wait all the way until next dawning, and by that point in time, they'll probably have re-nerfed high impact fusions.
Yeah, so high impact reserves and under pressure. Due to technical constraints at the time these perks were created, the trigger condition for these was on projectile impact. In other words, the bonus did not take effect until you fired the weapon once. But those constraints are no longer in place, and so these perks are now active so long as their conditions are met, even if you have not fired the weapon. So I guess that means when you spawned into a Crucible match for the first time with a weapon that had these perks, the perks were in fact not helping you for that first shot. But now they will be.
And I think someone had pointed out to us that under pressure worked that way. I don't know. I don't know if I noticed that high impact reserves wasn't working that way. Under pressure, someone had pointed out to me that it required you to either pick up ammo. Actually, what they pointed out to me, I think they said that they thought you had to pick up ammo and then burn down ammo. And that wasn't the case. And I knew that to not be the case, but I wasn't sure. There was some type of effect where it wasn't working just right when you spawned in. I actually thought high impact reserves was. Turns out it wasn't. Oh, well, didn't notice. Regardless, one way or another, the uptime on those weapons was still 50%, right? Because after you burned that first shot, then it was still active for the last shot in the magazine, which was great. Right. So especially if you picked up, like if you had ammo boosting mag perks and then you picked up more ammo, because then it would still be active for that as well. So but now it's just going to be active immediately when you spawn in. So I'm telling you guys, the God Roll Glacioclasm is high impact reserves under pressure. I would go chambered compensator and then probably particle repeater.
I like particle repeater on that gun.
You can also do liquid coils if you really want to just super dick people with massive amounts of damage, because liquid coils buffs it by one, high impact reserves buffs it by one, then buffs it by two, right? So you can be doing, like, you know, in the low 50s in damage per bolt which will kick your, you know, four bolt distance like pretty decently far out there, especially with under pressure and especially with chambered compensator, which gives you bonus to recoil direction and more stability. Like, that's the role I would have wanted had I been allowed to get it. I did not. I actually got literally not, I didn't even get a single roll with two of the four perks that I wanted, which is really disappointing. So I'm using like a not very good Glacioclasm right now and just struggling through it. But like I said, I still got, you know, a couple thousand kills on it. So it is what it is. But I am really, really excited about this. I pray that they bring out another high impact fusion that I can get this roll on. So fingers crossed.
Well, yeah, hopefully they will give us something new to chase in the near future here. Perhaps a redacted high impact fusion rifle for you. Up next we have Unrelenting. This perk was somewhat hard to trigger in difficult content. Stringing those kills together for it could be a pain in the butt if night falls. And the health awarded was hard to perceive or not worth the effort that you put into getting it. So this is now easier to trigger in PvE. It immediately triggers on killing a major and heals 20% more than it did before. So I think that probably makes this a perk worth reconsidering. That's a pretty fair health buff that it's giving. And if it's on a weapon that you're already using to take down majors, I mean, certainly get a kill, get healed. Can't argue with that.
Definitely better than it was before. Still not great for PvP, unfortunately, which is what I care about. But probably will be a lot better in in-game PvE, which is nice.
If it triggered on every Guardian kill, probably would be too strong. But
it would be basically an exotic at that point. It'd be Crimson. So.
It would be. But it would get used.
What if it was just crit kills, though?
I've said for a while that I'd like to see more exotic perks triggering off of crit. I always felt that Thorn's dot should be triggered by crit damage. I felt like that would make it a much more interesting weapon. But anyway, I digress. Sympathetic Arsenal. They really hit the nail on the head here. Isn't appealing enough for many players as it is, but is useful in niche situations. That's about 100% true of this perk. So they decided on a small buff to sweeten it a little. It now grants plus 20 reload in addition to its primary effect. I'm a little unclear if you have to empty the magazine to trigger that plus 20 reload. If that plus 20 reload applies just to that weapon, or if it applies to the weapon in your other slot. But at some point, something is reloading faster.
I think it's just a flat plus 20 reload to the weapon that you have the perk on. I think that's how I'm reading it, at least in the simplest terms.
That would be the simplest explanation. I just don't want to assume that.
They're really loving the, how do we buff stuff? Well, let's just give it plus 20 to a stat.
Yeah.
Like that's been their most recent buff, which isn't the most creative, but it is an effective solution. I think Flared Magwell is plus 30, so this is a pretty substantial buff, right? That's a pretty good buff.
Yeah. If it was just a perk that gave plus 20 to reload and did nothing else, it's a perk I would probably consider. So can't argue with that. Next up is one of your favorite perks, Dragonfly. Always bugged Bungie that Dragonfly wouldn't proc on every enemy you could finish with a precision hit. Some enemies just couldn't trigger a Dragonfly explosion. Specifically Heavy Shanks and Servitors. It now works on both of those and triggers even faster than after the Season of the Chosen fix. So you get that crit kill, boom, right away. No more funky delays. We hope.
Which is good. There's not a ton to say about that. It's just nice that it triggers faster. It's still not tremendously useful in PvP, unfortunately, although I do love it, as you mentioned. But I'm going to give it a shot again. Next up is actually a lot more interesting of a change. It's Hipfire Grip. They said that we're being very careful not to overbuff this, because when Hipfire is too effective, it changes the game significantly, as we're seeing with DMT, particularly on mouse and keyboard. So we're just bumping this a bit more over the season where Rivals buff to make it a more useful option. They're buffing it a bit more, actually, when I think I look at the numbers, is a pretty significant buff.
To the point
where I'm almost questioning whether or not sidearms and SMGs will be better hip fired or very close to better hip fired than they are ADS. So they're adding 1 degree onto the hip fire angle threshold, right? Which is basically like the AA cone when you're hip firing, right? And they're all also adding 1.2 times onto the reticle stickiness fall off distance. So for something like a sidearm or an SMG, which has very low zoom when you ADS, like this is as much or more than the reticle stickiness that you would get ADSing, which is a pretty substantial change for hip fire, right? Because the biggest issue with hip firing outside of just pure inaccuracy, but for guns that are kind of accurate hip fire like sidearms and SMGs, the biggest issue is that on a controller, you don't have reticle stickiness at a much closer distance, and that hurts. Well, with this, now you will have reticle stickiness at a much closer distance. They say that we know 1 degree doesn't seem like that much. Well, to someone who, like myself, who's done a ton of work on AA cones, I know that 1 degree is a substantial change for an AA cone. But they say what we want to point out is that the hand cannon aim assist cone is 2.5 degrees at 0 AA and only 3 degrees at 100 AA, right? So you can feel the difference between a 90 aim assist hand cannon and a 100 aim assist hand cannon, and that is a 0.05 degree increase. And this is a 1 degree increase, 20 times as much, right? So they do want to note, however, that the precision hip fire AA cone, which is different than just the normal hip fire AA cone, is still capped at what it would be if you were ADS, right? So basically, like, you will be able to spam hip fire shots and it will be more forgiving for body shots and probably slightly more forgiving for crits, but you're not going to be more likely to hit crits when you're body shotting than you are when you're ADSing, right? Like, that's where they draw the line. They're not like, we don't want it to be like the last word, where it's like legitimately easier to hit crits when you're hip firing than it is when you're ADSing. They want it to be at best the same, but body shots will be easier. And obviously when you're hip firing, there are a lot of other benefits that you get. So I'm not necessarily thinking that this is going to do a ton for like scout rifles or pulse rifles, but particularly for SMGs and sidearms, I'm like, wow, like this might be a big one.
I think this is probably a top tier perk now for sidearms and submachine guns, simply because it allows you to remain highly mobile while using them. I already liked hipfire grip on those weapons for that reason, because it allowed you to be somewhat more accurate while still moving freely. I think now it's going to be really hard to want anything else. If you can really lean into a hipfire playstyle with those guns, and you have a good chance of hitting all your shots, maybe hitting some crits, I think that is going to make them, I don't want to say much stronger, but I think it's going to make the playstyles that favor them much easier to play successfully. So I think this is kind of a sleeper hit in terms of sneaking something in that, you know, some of those archetypes we talked about that they seem to be ignoring, this perk might be them saying, we see them, we just don't think they need any additional love. They just need the right perks. So,
yeah,
this could be a big one.
So people, obviously, if you're using like an SMG or sidearm, Icarus is going to be a great mod to pair with it, right? Because then you're going to have perfect inner accuracy and perfect hipfire accuracy, which basically is all I've ever wanted in this game. That's why I love DMT so much on my Titan with Lions, because I can be in the air and hipfiring, and I absolutely love it, right? So I'm really looking forward to this. What's really, and I can't hammer this home enough, is how much that 1 degree like change really is, because, you know, We have to think about these cones as like what you're looking at is really the area of a circle at the base of that cone that is the aim assist cone, right? And I know that technically they talk about it in degrees, but the thing is that cone has an endpoint. Like that cone has a point where it no longer functions, and that is like the widest it gets. So when I measure that in D1 on hand cannons, the difference between the lowest aim assist I could find and the highest aim assist I could find was 2 pixels of radius for a circle. So 4 pixels of diameter for a circle. But we know what the area formula for a circle is. It's pi r squared. And when you do those calculations, the increase in area you get on the base of that circle with a 2 pixel difference is massive. Massive, right? So, you know, just keep in mind, and I know that they even said like, hey, you know, we want to be careful with this because if we overbuff it, like there's going to be problems. But this might be one of the changes I'm actually most excited about. Like I'm very much looking forward to seeing, because DMT has got me hooked on this hipfire thing now. And I'm very much looking forward if I can see like, can I stack hipfire grips? Can I do a hipfire grip and a hipfire mod on a scout rifle and give myself DMT like accuracy when I'm firing from the hip? Cause shit, I'll do that.
Yeah. Like, free hand grip, increased accuracy and ready speed. It's a thing. Whether it's up to Dead Man's Tale standards or not.
Probably not. Dead Man's Tale doesn't have bloom at all hip firing, which is part of what makes it so strong. But, you know, let's see. This is why we play. This is why we experiment. So I'm real excited about this change.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one for sure. Following that, the Iron Banner perks, Iron Grip, Iron Gaze, Iron Reach, all came with massive stat penalties. They now feel that they don't need to be dishing out minus 40 penalties to stats in order to justify the buffs that these perks provide. So they are reducing it to minus 30. There are some cases where that may make a difference, but in many cases, these perks are already pushing the stat that they penalize to its floor. 10 points, I don't know if that's going to be meaningful for most of those weapons. It may, in a few cases, mean that you end up with like less terrible numbers in your dump stat. But
I mean, it'll make it easier to make up if, like, so the problem and also the benefit to these is a lot of stats, numerical stats, cap out on the bottom for weapons.
Yeah.
So some of these things, like the minus 40 was basically meaningless because you could only go down so far. But what would happen is you would try to make up for it with another perk and it would just eat whatever perk you put into it, right?
Yep.
So like if your reload speed start at 30 and the bottom cap is 10 and you put this on, and it killed your reload speed, and then you put Flared Magwell on it, it killed Flared Magwell too. So it basically made you waste another perk. So now it will be less likely to do that. Some of these perks were good even with these horrendous penalties. Like some of these perks were good on certain weapons in niche circumstances. I think this is just going to make it more likely for them to be usable. So I'm pretty happy with this change too.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is that I feel like they could have gone a little further. But perhaps they will next season.
Yep. And then they got Osmosis and Elemental Capacitor, which were the two perks that did not work with Stasis. And they said they flat out just didn't have time to address these when Stasis came into being. But they do want them to play correctly. So Osmosis will now switch the weapon to Stasis damage when playing with a Stasis subclass. It should work for any mechanics that ask for Stasis damage, but not Stasis ability damage. And it also, they created Stasis VFX for all weapon types that Osmosis can appear on.
Pretty dope.
There's more coming later because they did tell us that they are introducing Stasis as a weapon type as well. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Then Elemental Capacitor, I'm real excited about this. Elemental Capacitor grants recoil direction and reduces ADS movement speed penalty. I am big into that because that means I can take counterbalance off some of these guns and use a different mod. And all I have to do is have Elemental Capacitor on it. Sometimes in stuff that was already a dead slot, I am very happy about that change. As if I needed more of a reason to run Stasis as a subclass.
Yeah, exactly. So Elemental Capacitor is now good with both Void and Stasis subclasses. Making that perk significantly stronger. It was already a strong perk, assuming you're running the right subclass for it. This just really, really makes it a very strong choice.
So, last one that is new is no distractions. They are reducing the trigger time from 1.5 seconds to 1 second. They increase the flinch reduction from 30 to 35%. Personally, because I hate flinch so much, I just want no distractions to have no trigger time. Like, please, for the love of God, give me no distractions. I don't even care if it takes away 20% flinch. Like, give me no distractions with no trigger time. So I can just equip it on every weapon that I've ever had and just unflinching everything. The problem with a 1 second trigger time is that, yeah, it's great if you're hard scoping something or you're pre-ADSing an engagement, but a lot of engagements begin with you ADSing immediately into the engagement, and 1 second is enough time for that entire engagement to be finished, in which case, no distractions. Now, granted, that's assuming everyone hits their shots. But at best, no distractions is going to be activating, halfway or three quarters of the way into an engagement.
And I want to, if you don't mind, I want to skip ahead to the exotic section just briefly because this directly impacts the change they made there. I think it'll make sense if we just follow up with that and then we can wrap up the perks. Mida Multitool, they've had a lot of requests to switch Outlaw on that gun to something more useful, and I think they may have missed the mark. Although it was a good-hearted attempt, they've observed that Mida is losing fights to weapons that cause more flinch, so they've changed the catalyst perk from Outlaw to No Distractions. Unfortunately, as you just mentioned, with the trigger time, you have to hard scope for a full second before you get that benefit, which is just as likely to get you killed as flinch. I feel like that is an inarguably less useful perk simply because you are forced to hard scope a lane with it, which is the opposite of what you should do with
Right.
Mida.
Even if it were a half or a quarter second, I'd be like, okay, well, that'll probably activate in like the tail end of any engagement that I'm in. Or if I'm hard scoped for even a brief fraction of a second, it'll activate in the beginning of the engagement. Like, I would be like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Half second, quarter second, yeah. Full second. It's like now I'm really thinking about it. It's like, do I really want to go around like popping into ADS, like trying to pre-time every engagement I'm in? Not really. Like most of the time I want to stay out of ADS for as long as I can, and then only ADS when I absolutely have to. And it's like, it's just I mean, I don't know. Granted, again, it's still a buff, but all I can say is that with the trigger time being the way it is, I have not been particularly impressed with that perk.
Yeah.
So
For me, that perk is a non-starter, and this is not going to change my opinion on it.
We actually don't need to talk about the other two perks because it's Celerity, Bottomless Grief, and Thresh, the other three perks. I'm sorry. Those changes everybody already knows about. Celerity is just getting plus 20 to handling, plus 20 to reload. Bottomless Grief gets plus 30 to magazine, which is extended mag. So Thresh, the change is already live. It works in all PvP. So mods are pretty easy. Adept Counterbalance, I said it doesn't feel like enough of a upgrade over Standard Counterbalance. Standard Counterbalance gives plus 15, Adept gives plus 25. So they increase the benefit again. I'm curious as to whether it's plus 30 or plus 35. Because if it's plus 30, then it immediately shifts like all weapons that it was good on to the opposite, and all weapons it wasn't very good on now become, because everybody's trying to get those intervals of five, right? So when it was 25, any weapons that ended in zero, it was great on. Any weapons that didn't, you didn't like it as much. And if they bump it up to 30, it'll be the other way around, which would be very funny. So hopefully it's plus 35. But and then Adept Mag and Adept Targeting, it was the same as the penalties for the Iron Banner perks. They just dropped those by five. So from negative 20 to negative 15, and they fixed Adept Mag not granting reserves when applied to a sword. Sorry, that sounds like I'm rushing, but we were supposed to do listener questions. We are already over an hour because this TWAB ended up being just as meaty as we thought it would. So the only last things I want to talk about is they said that they are not expecting the changes to the two dominant shotguns being just replacing quick draw with surplus to really move the needle on shotgun usage. They said that they agree that some of the comments say that weapon usage is not only dependent on tuning, but also the map design. However, they want more weapons to be viable on all maps, and they believe that they can achieve this through tuning, giving other special weapons room to excel. They said specifics coming later. I will believe that when I see it, but unless they are planning to neuter the shit out of shotgun range, or do something crazy like massively buff base handling on snipers or damage on fusions, like, you know, that is a lofty pie in the sky goal. But as we are continue to be confined to teeny tiny maps, you know, I will wait and see what they have in store. And then Dead Man's Tale, they said with the upcoming nerfs to 120s, we expect Dead Man's Tale to surge. The usage is already high on PC. On PC. Right? Gotta say that. They said they have a change ready to go that will rein in its ability to challenge sniper rifles, 120 hand cannons, and scout rifles while in hipfire without detracting from the fantasy of the weapon. I'm hoping that that's just like a flat range nerf, which should hit it worse on PC than it hits it on console, because even on console with the AA being as wonky as it is, it's not exactly like the strongest choice ever, you know, at longer distances. So hopefully it's something that affects mouse and keyboard more than it affects controller. And then fusion rifles, as with our other changes, we don't want to bump these too much so fast, and they will follow up as needed. I believe that they probably will be following up with the rapid fire and adaptives, and hopefully the precision frames, because I would be very surprised, and I've been wrong before, but I'd be very surprised if they saw a massive sustained jump in usage.
Yeah, yep, I would as well. Okay, well, let's dive real quick into just a few listener questions to wrap this episode up. Why don't we start with Medic FMF, one of our patrons. Medic asks, bows are very good, especially to those that know how to use them. What added benefit would be needed for a bow to be viable in high-tiered PvP where they are non-existent? I feel like we addressed this, a similar question, previously in a recent episode.
Yeah, we did, but the long and short of it is that it's really, really difficult to balance bows in high-tiered PvP, because the truth is, like, if you actually run into a good Lamonark hand cannon hunter, like, they are very close to unbeatable. Very, and that's at high level. They are very, very close to unbeatable. The thing is that the skill curve for learning how to use bows is just really, really high. And so most people don't do it because Destiny players are lazy and they want to use what's easiest and provides them the best results. Me personally, I would not change anything about bows right now. I've talked about the suggestions that I've had before of a special ammo bow, which one-shots the head. And basically would amount to being like a linear fusion rifle that you could hold, right? And the only way you can do that is by killing the aim assist, so there's basically no aim assist on it at all. Outside of that, I mean, what I would do is I would neutralize, yeah, this is what we talked about, I would neutralize the bow archetypes, right? And I would give all bows the most damage and the faster charge rates. And I think that would probably, and I would give them inherently very high handling. I think that would probably enough to get them to see a little bit more use, but I wouldn't do anything besides that. I'd be very worried about making bows too good.
Yeah, that's another weapon that is, I think, very difficult to balance in Destiny's sandbox. Okay, next question. Screeb Juice with Pulp. Do you think special weapons are in a good spot? If not, how would you put them in one?
I actually already answered all three of these points. So I would nerf sniper aim assist, and I would give them a flat like buff to handling speed, like a pretty substantial buff to handling speed. I want all snipers to feel snappier and better, but I don't want them to have as much aim assist as they do. Fusions, we talked about this last episode. I would increase the charge rate of the rapid fires, make them do a little bit more damage, increase the charge rate of, or not increase, I would increase the damage of the adaptives and the precisions, and I would increase the charge time, so decrease the charge rate of the high impacts, and I would give them more damage as well, or more range, right? So I would basically be spreading those out so that the rapid fires are very, very different from the high impacts. The high impacts have even more range, but an even slower charge rate. The rapid fires have probably even less range, but a much faster charge rate, and kind of differentiate those sides. For shotguns, I would actually tighten the pellet spread to make them more consistent. I would decrease the damage per pellet so that you have to be way more accurate, but they're actually more rewarding. They would actually have, they would be more consistent at that 10 meter range, but only if you were really accurate. If you weren't accurate, they would kind of suck for you. So that's pretty much what I would do. So the answer is, do you think special weapons are in a good spot? No, not really. I think there's a lot of work that can be done on special weapons.
I would agree by and large that there could definitely be a lot done to adjust that. I don't have any specific additional suggestions on top of what you've said, so I'll leave that one where it is. I missed this before. We have a second question from Medic FMF. When I watch most top streamers, their mouse and keyboard movement is beyond compare. Even on 10 sensitivity, a controller can't touch that movement speed. How would you design a system to best balance the playing field for mouse and keyboard and controller players?
I wouldn't. At high level, I think mouse and keyboard is always going to be stronger, and I think that that's fine. What I would do is I would really rein in the recoil for controller players. I'd make controllers a lot more stable than they are right now, a lot closer to where they were in D1 in terms of weapon stability, and I would remove every ounce of aim assist from mouse and keyboard. Like, they would get zero bullet magnetism. And I think if you did those two things, a lot of mouse and keyboard players would be very unpleasantly surprised how much Destiny helps them. Because I know most games that have mouse and keyboard do not have any aim assist. So that would be an unpleasant surprise for a lot of Destiny PC players who probably think they're a little bit better than they are. But I think that, I think at a high level, because what mouse can allow you to do with how quickly and precisely you can turn an aim, I think mouse and keyboard would probably at the highest level always be the superior input device, unless you take kind of like the Halo route and you basically say, yeah, we didn't design this game for mouse and keyboard. Like, controllers have a shit ton of aim assist. Like, good luck with it. And I'm not, you know how I feel about aim assist, so I'm not entirely on board with that, right?
Certainly I think mouse and keyboard probably needs to have, if not the aim assist completely removed, I think it probably does need to come down from where it is. So I would agree that that's a good direction for them to look at moving in. Otherwise, ultimately this really isn't a game that has any kind of officially supported competitive scene, so I don't know that it really matters that much. And if it were to be officially supported, I think it would probably be important to standardize the official input system, and I think it would probably end up being controllers. Just because that's the kind of game that Destiny is, that's what it's designed for originally. Mouse and keyboard ends up with some a little bit of weirdness in Destiny in terms of how it changes the sandbox from the sandbox that the majority of players experience. So as long as Destiny remains a console dominant game, it's not a PC primary shooter. I think console and controllers are probably going to dominate the way that the game is balanced, and probably should.
And we got to remember that, like, when we say majority, it's not even just like a close majority. It's like the vast majority. Even if you think mouse and keyboard players are 90% of players on PC, which they're not, and it's not even close to that much. They're 25% of the population, if those numbers are the truth. And it's not, right? So it's like, more realistically, it's probably closer to a 50-50 split on PC, right? In which case they're 15% of the population, because PC doesn't even have the same numbers that either Xbox or PlayStation do by itself. So, if it comes down to it, and you have to make one controller or one control scheme group unhappy, like, you'd be very hard pressed to alienate what is probably 85% of the population on controller, or 15% that's on mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, and I don't mean that in a harsh way. I love mouse and keyboard as an input system. All of the, I mean, it's probably the first input that I used playing shooters as a young child, playing Unreal Tournament and Counter-Strike, long ago. But unfortunately, you know, it's difficult when you've got two very, very different systems to make a level playing field. And I don't think, given everything else going on in Destiny, that Bungie should put time into that. I think that would be a waste of resources. Let's jump on to Reality Verbally. Asking to add to the movement discussion with comparisons to other games, I think it's an issue of uptime and potency. Stompies are always up and extremely potent, whereas something like Shiver Strike is also extremely potent but has a lesser uptime. I would like to know your thoughts on a change to prevent Stompies plus 120, I'm assuming referencing hand cannons, abuse, an accuracy debuff on colliding with the environment, or potentially separately tuned flinch while in air.
I mean, the big issue there is actually, like, Stompies weren't an issue until Icarus mod became a thing, right? So Stompies allow you to break one rule of the sandbox, which is that you're supposed to be penalized for being in the air movement-wise, right? Like, Icarus Dash also allows you to break this, by the way, so it's not just Stompies. But it breaks the rule of the sandbox that when a hunter or, specifically a hunter in this case, because of Stompies, when they jump in the air, hunters follow predictable patterns, right, when they jump. Stompies allows you to completely negate that pattern and basically move at 90 degree angles, you know, opposite or adjacent to where your momentum was carrying you, which no other jump, you know, no other double jump allows you to do. So that's one rule that it breaks, right? But it's not a problem on its own because you still have the accuracy penalty for being in the air. Well, Icarus mod, especially on hand cannons, which do such large chunk damage that you can basically get a kill spamming body shots as long as you hit one lucky crit, makes it to where you can jump up in the air and spam shots at a player, and pretty much as long as you hit one crit, you can four tap them, especially with 120s. So the problem is more Icarus mod and 120 chunk damage, or hand cannon chunk damage specifically. So what I would like to see is I would like to see hand cannons in air accuracy drop down a little bit, maybe in correlation with how high their impact is, right? So like the higher the impact, the lower the in-air accuracy. Something needs to be done about Icarus mod at some point in time. Like either all guns are in-air accurate or no guns are in-air accurate, but like you can't allow players to be stacking Icarus mod onto their snipers and onto their hand cannons and completely breaking one of the core rules of the sandbox, which is that you're inaccurate in the air. So I think if you were to make those two changes, you would probably see a lot less reliance and a lot less crutching on Stompies. And I think you probably wouldn't even have to touch the exotic at all.
Yeah, that's fair to say. I think you addressed my viewpoint on this when you said either all weapons need to be in-air accurate or none of them do. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. It's, you know, and I love hand cannons. I love the fantasy that hand cannons fulfill in Destiny. But letting them be the only in-air accurate weapon just means that they're always going to be a dominant choice in competitive play. And other guns are just not going to be able to compete unless hand cannons get nerfed into the ground in some other way.
Right.
I mean, that's just flat out the truth. Like, either we need to give other guns ways to shine that are either the same way, shooting people from midair, or something else unique, you know, like bigger maps where hand cannons can't dominate as easily. There are various things we could do. But as things stand, on the maps that we have, if hand cannons are the only gun that's in-air accurate, any ability to move unpredictably, whether it's Stompies or Icarus Dash, or whatever new nonsense we get in the future, it's going to be very hard to fight against that.
Right. I mean, and this is the issue that we have is for a long time we had a sandbox that functioned by certain rules, and then they added things like Icarus Dash, like Stompies, like the new Titan Behemoth Slide, which way breaks the rules of sliding, right?
Yeah.
And all three of those things are extremely problematic movement abilities because they cause unpredictability in engagements that side incredibly in the favor of the person using the ability, and there is no downside to using those abilities, right? Like, you are not penalized at all for using Stompies. You are not penalized at all for using Behemoth Slide. You are not penalized at all for using Icarus Dash, right? And to a lesser extent, but still problematic, is the just the normal base hunter dodge, right? Which does the same thing, just to a slightly less extent. But at least it's a class ability which has a 15-second cooldown, and yes, you can have it up instantly if you spec all the way into it, right? But the thing about Icarus Dash is you basically just get it for free. Behemoth Slide, I know you have to give yourself a shard, but you basically just get it for free. Stompies, like, yeah, you have to put on an exotic, but you can jump as many times as you want. You don't have a jump cooldown. So either these abilities, and I'm a hunter, I dodge all the time, right? Like, is Hunter's class ability just flat out the best class ability? Shit, yeah, it is. Like, especially for PvP. Like, it just really is. Like, it's kind of unfair to Titans and to Warlocks. I'm saying that as a hunter. But at the same time, like Stompies, Behemoth Slide, Icarus Dash, like these things either need to have a negative, a drawback that makes it more of a trade-off to run those things, or they're going to continue to be basically the only option at the highest level. Like, when you watch high-level gameplay, it is Hunters with Stompies, Behemoth Titans, and Icarus Dashing Warlocks. Like, those are the only options that you see at a high level because their movement abilities are so crazy good compared to everything else with absolutely no downside at all. So my thing is, if you don't want those things to have a downside, then everybody needs to have an air dash of some sort or another, and everyone needs to have like a sudden ground movement of one way or the other. And if they don't, and those abilities continue to break the rules of the sandbox, then you're going to continue to have issues with unpredictability and engagements, and no downside associated with it for the user.
So I asked this question earlier from Quick Fix in the Discord. Has anyone suggested yet that all fusions should have the same base range, regardless of charge time and impact? So essentially following up to say charge time and impact would then be kind of the only differentiator among the fusion classes. I don't hate that suggestion. I think it's one direction they could go in that would allow fusions to be different and give people a reason to use fast firing ones or high impact ones without a whole lot of other changes.
I mean, is he talking about range, like the same range stat, or like the same range? I
Damage
mean,
falloff profile.
one way or another, it's not my personal choice that I would make. I don't think it would do as much as maybe it seems like it would at first glance, because what really determines range more than the range stat is the damage of the bolts, right? And so, they could all have the exact same range, but if rapid fires are doing 15 less per bolt than high impacts, like, they're not going to have the same range, right? So,
Sure.
you're gonna, even if they all started damage fall for the exact same point, I think you would give, I mean, at this point now, shit, you would only give rapid fires another meter and a half of damage fall off, I think. So, would it do something? Sure, it would buff rapid fires a little bit, but I don't, again, range isn't the issue that rapid fires have. The issue that rapid fires have is, despite their fast charge time, their time to kill is still slow because they have to hit 6 out of 7 bolts, and they can't kill at any extreme distances because they have to hit 6 out of 7 bolts. So you can fiddle with range all you want on these low impact fusions, but it's not going to do anything until bolt spread is addressed, basically.
Oh, fair enough.
You also have to invent an exotic, by the way, from that question from,
I do.
yeah, from the review.
So here it is. Here's what I've come up with. This is where my head's at tonight. I want a spear gun. And I'd really like the catalyst. to allow you to actually pull the person to you and instantly melee them to death. I mean, you'd have to time the melee, right? That's going to be on you to execute that. But I'd really like a spear gun.
Does it have a charge time, or does it just have like a slow reload? Like you reload it once.
It has a very slow reload. You have to like wind. You have to like, it's like attached by the, you have to like wind it back into.
So it's
the
like
gun.
A crossbow, kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of like a crossbow, but it's, you know, it's high tech.
Pretty dope. That's much better than my kinetic fusion rifle idea.
And so yeah, so like it shoots, you know. It's probably a special weapon. Instant kill on a crit to the head. And if it hits a body shot, then it pins you in place for like a second or something.
Which, you know how much people love being pinned in place.
I do.
In PvP.
And I don't care. Because even better is when you get the catalyst, and then if you don't kill them instantly, then you yank them towards you. So that's what I'd like to see. Just a little Mortal Kombat in my Destiny. That's all I want.
That's a pretty good one. I like that one. I'm not as creative as that, but I did think of something secondary that's better than my kinetic fusion.
Okay.
I want an auto pistol, kind of like, I believe it was Titanfall 1 that had this, but it was like the training pistol that you use, and you would hold the pistol down. And if you aimed, like, at the person for enough time, it would fully charge up. And then when you let it go, it would fire all the bullets needed to kill them at once. And they were, like, tracking. So you would, like, aim at the person. You'd hold it down. It would, like, click, 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 click. And then when you let it go, it would fire all 5 shots instantly. And they would track to the person and just immediately kill them. But the charge time to hold it down was slower than most other primary weapons could kill you in, right? So you basically had to dodge their shots and hope they missed a couple or make them miss a couple. And then if you let it go, it just instantly wiped them out at the end, right? So it was like the penalty was, you know, like it does not kill very fast. Like every primary weapon in the game will kill faster than this. But if you can make them miss a couple shots, and you also couldn't break line of sight. So it was really hard against someone who was like dodging in and out. You had to maintain line of sight with them. Otherwise it reset like every time. So I think it would be like an auto pistol. I just think it would be the funniest thing ever to just like be dodging back and forth in front of someone, not shooting anything at all. And then after like a second and a quarter, just like let go of the trigger and evaporate them. It'd be kind of like Devil's Ruin, except for not a trace rifle.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, it sounds like, I mean, you just really love fusion rifle type weapons.
I really do.
And this would be certainly another variation on that theme. That could be an interesting one.
Well, I love things that charge and then do a lot of damage, and I love things that activate on crits. Like, those are my two, like, little, was it, like, endorphin rushes when you, like, get a notification on your phone and it, like, makes you briefly happy? Like, in Destiny, the two things that make me briefly happy in just a sea of wallowing despair are things that activate on crits and things that charge up and do a lot of damage. So, if it's one or both of those things, I'm, like, good to go.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And somehow we are now approaching an hour and a half. So I think if you don't have anything else to add, we can probably call it a night.
I think that's an episode right there. All right. Thanks for tuning in to yet another episode of Destiny Massive Breakdowns. So glad to have wasted your time. Hope you enjoy, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Well, we'll see you next week. Bye.